This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Tuesday, December 8th, 2020. If you have a news story you think we might need to cover, please send articles and links to news@crosspolitic.com. That's news@crosspolitic.com. First up, Matthew McConaughey on left-right politics and being radically centrist.
I'll meet you in the middle. I actually think that is more of a dare right now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
That spot again is not like, oh no, not going there. Somebody said to me that it's, oh yeah, meet you in the middle. You know, it's in the middle of the road, McConaughey, yellow lines and dead armadillos. I said, let me tell you something, but I said, I'm walking down the yellow line right now and the armadillos are running free, having a great time. I said, you know why? I said, the other two sides, the two vehicles on either side of the political aisle are so far apart, their fucking tires aren't even on the pavement anymore. I mean, so trust me, it's free over here. There's plenty of room, yeah. You know? And I almost feel like it's a move to say, no, let's get aggressively centric. I dare you. It's not a recession. It's an aggressive move. The far left that would go, well, who do? There is a lot on that illiberal left that absolutely condescend, patronize, and are arrogant towards that other 50%. Many people were in, I'm sure you saw it in our industry when Trump was voted in 4 years ago. They were in denial that it was actually, that it was real. This, and some of them were in absolute denial. And even now, we're going to see if we can stabilize coming out of, looks like Biden's our guy. Now you've got the right that's in denial because they're saying it's fake news. And I understand they've been fed fake news. No one knows who the hell to believe, right? So they're putting down their last bastion of defense.
Radically centrist. Yeah. Armadillos not getting run over. Well, I mean, yes, you've got a point. Left and right are way, way apart, but take the dare. I don't know. I'm not buying it. I like Matthew McConaughey, but that's just rhetoric, man. What does that even mean? Next up, Daniel Horowitz, old friend of ours. He's on the blaze. He's a machine. He's doing some analysis on mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. He was on Mark Levin's show and pointed this out.
What we found was magic. I mean, returns and political scientific data that we haven't seen before. Where when it comes to mail-in ballots, of which there were many, 2.6 million, it turns out that they always seemed to skew against Trump, even relative to other Republicans, and they always seemed to favor Biden, even relative to other Democrat candidates. So comparing apples to apples. So when you take a look at Republicans who won their races for state auditor, for state treasurer, it turns out that those Republicans did better than Trump on mail-ins, but not on Election Day. On Election Day, they had fewer votes than Trump. Whereas when you go to the Democrat victors, such as Dan Shapiro, the notorious attorney general, he seemed to do better than Biden on Election Day ballots, but worse, and this is on the Secretary of State's website, worse than Biden on mail-ins. In other words, Biden always won out on mail-ins, and Trump always got fewer votes. And then when you look at other states, we're finding a similar pattern of a bunch of ballots cast that only had Biden. And of course, they're always mail-ins, which are, you know, wrought with a bunch of fraud, a lot of potential fraud. But a lot of the naysayers will tell you, look, a lot of people are only interested in the presidential race and they just filled that out. Maybe more Democrats are low information voters, so they'll only care about the presidential election. But the problem with that is, why would you see this asymmetry in Pennsylvania where even within Republican voters, it seems that more of them filled out ballots for mail-ins, down ballot, which makes sense. It's the comfort of your home. You have more time. You're not rushed online for an hour. But then when you go over to the Democrats, it seems like more Democrats filled out down ballot Election Day, but not on the mail-ins. And you couple that with the low rejection rate and the fact that Biden would have had to have won 80% of independent voters who were mail-ins and 21% of Republican mail-in voters. That gap is something we have never seen before. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And here's the thing. You look at Ohio, Iowa, and Florida, which were all Republican states where they didn't have these mail-in shenanigans. Ohio went through years of litigation to clean up their voter rolls. Trump performed better than he did last time. It defies logic that he would recede in the Rust Belt in the other states that actually mattered, when in Ohio, it's not like he won it by 2-3, he won it by 8 points. It really doesn't make any sense. You could say that mail-in ballots skewed a little bit more left, but there is no evidence anywhere in the country where there was this mass exodus of registered Republicans. If anything, he wound up doing better. There was slight bleeding among independents, but not Republicans.
One more thing to keep your eyes on. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, what's going to happen? Folks, you wish you could listen and watch the news anytime, day or night, from a source that was committed to telling the truth about what's going on in the world and have a no-holds-barred biblical analysis to accompany it. You tired of woke scolds and latte theologians nuancing everything to death? Do you wish Christian media was a little bit more rowdy and more idols got smashed? That's what Cross Politic is all about. And we need your help to continue growing the Fight Laugh Feast Network. The best way you can help is by becoming a Fight Laugh Feast Club member today. Many of you already have, and it has allowed us to grow so much already. But if you're tired of legacy media cramming their pagan worldviews down your throat and social media censoring views they don't approve of, support Cross Politic as we build a Christian media platform and network committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over everything. Also, we like to laugh and drink beer. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast Club member today. Go to fightlaughfeast.com. Supreme Court declines to hear an Oregon case to prevent cross-dressing girl in boys' locker rooms. Monday, the Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal of a case from parents in Oregon who want to stop a tranny student from using locker rooms and bathrooms with students of the same biological sex. The Associated Press reported the petition filed by the advocacy group Parents for Privacy was rejected by the justices without comment. The case, Parents for Privacy versus Barr, involved a high school student in Oregon who is biologically female but says she's a boy. The Dallas School District in Oregon's policy gave the student the right to share locker rooms and bathrooms with boys, even though she's a girl. In 2017, parents of students in the school sued the district, arguing that the policy infringed on the privacy rights of their children. Right. Not having a girl watching their boys undress. U.S. District Judge Marco A. Hernandez dismissed the action in 2018, prompting the parents to appeal the decision. So in July 2019, the Ninth Circuit took on the case and explained the case as follows. Quote, the Dallas School District number 2 implemented a student safety plan after a student had been born who remained biologically female, publicly identified as a boy, and asked school officials to allow him, to use the boys' bathroom and locker room. I'm still reading from the Ninth Circuit's description. The plan acknowledged the student as a, quote, transgender male, that's a cross-dressing female, and permitted him, her, to use the boys' locker room and bathroom facilities with his, that would be her, peers. You know, it's kind of hard to take the Ninth Circuit seriously when the Ninth Circuit is already using the wrong pronouns. The Ninth Circuit doesn't understand biology. Governor Cuomo says he and Fauci will be like De Niro and Pacino in a TV ad telling people to get the COVID vaccine.
I think your voice on saying that the vaccines are safe would be important. I said that as soon as the vaccine is deemed ready and safe, I'll be the first one to take a vaccine. Maybe we enlist you. I'll do it with you. We'll do an ad telling New Yorkers it's safe to take the vaccine to put us together. We're like the modern day De Niro and Pacino. You can be whichever you want. You can be the De Niro or Pacino. Fauci and Cuomo. I'll give you a firm boy. Who do you want to be, De Niro or Pacino? Which one do you want to be?
I love them both. I love them both. I don't want to insult one or the other. If I say one, I don't want to hurt the feelings of the other.
Yeah.
So either one.
Who's the politician?
I don't know. It's kind of creepy to me, actually, guys. It's you're kind of creeping me out. Remember, Cuomo, you're the guy who lit up your Empire State Building or whatever with pink in celebration of murdering babies up until the point they were born. And I mean, this is, yeah. Kind of creepy, guys. Okay. I think it was either on a news brief or it was on one of our main shows. I shared it on my social media as well, a Johns Hopkins study that got pulled. So a gal did some data analysis of all deaths, total morbidity, and she suggested, based on her reading of the data, that there were no excess deaths in 2020. Edward Ring over at American Greatness, though, has written a follow-up article that seems, well, reasonable to me. Johns Hopkins study claiming that COVID-19 deaths are vastly overstated made the rounds recently on social media. Again, this is Edward Ring at American Greatness. You can click on the link in the notes. And he writes, the work in question may still be found on the Wayback Machine. That's how Not the Bee got it, I think, and some others. Researchers measured total U.S. deaths from all causes during 2020 and concluded that these deaths were not greater than deaths in previous years. Skeptics were quick to pounce, for example, and an alternative content provider led with the headline, study, absolutely no excess deaths from COVID-19. I think I quoted something similar from the article when it was released. When the university took the study down, the Johns Hopkins newsletter published an explanation that only clarified some of the issues raised by the study. To the main point, the deaths from all causes in the United States were not higher in 2020 than previous years. The editors wrote, quote, this claim is incorrect. According to the CDC, there have been almost 300,000 excess deaths due to COVID-19, unquote. Now, the author's name was Briand. Briand did have a useful insight, however, by focusing only on deaths from all causes. This eliminates the question of misclassification and merely asks whether or not more people are dying this year than in previous years. The CDC issues reports weekly, and each time they arrive in downloadable spreadsheet format showing how many people died per week for every week preceding the week of the report. So you can click on links in his article to see those reports from the CDC. He cites a graph showing CDC data on U.S. deaths from all causes for this year. It depicts the data from 23 weekly reports from the CDC starting on week 25, the week ending June 24, through week 47, the week ending November 24. Each report is one line on the graph, the vertical axis representing the number of deaths, the horizontal axis representing weeks in 2020. Note how each week, again, you can click on the link in the show notes, note how each week of data plummets towards zero as it plots the more recent weekly total deaths. Note, too, how the earlier weeks, where all data have been collected, show these lines all converging. This shows graphically how the CDC's weekly reports do not provide complete totals for the weeks immediately preceding each of the reports. Only the data 8 to 10 weeks behind any CDC weekly report are a reliable indicator of how many people actually died. So in plain language, that just means that each week there is a report released by the CDC that's reporting all the deaths that it has on record. But of course, it takes about 8 to 10 weeks of lag time for all that reporting to sort of catch up and then sort of stabilize. So after about 8 to 10 weeks, it's fairly reliable data. But before that, you don't have all the data in. So we can see how there are 6 years of prior data in this graph that track in close formation. The 2017-2018 flu season stands out as the most severe, with deaths peaking in January at nearly 70,000 per week. Overall, during the peak weeks of flu season over the 6 years prior to 2020, total deaths in the United States rose to not quite 60,000 per week. So again, you know, that would be sort of a heavy week of deaths ordinarily. And then drops in midsummer to around 50,000 per week. That's the normal progression. So maybe peaking at 60 to 70 in the wintertime, dropping down to about 50,000 per week in the summer. Against that backdrop, the dark blue line, again, click on the link in the notes, which represents total deaths from all causes in 2020, offers a very different curve. Flu season was normal, with deaths topping at about 60,000 per week for several weeks in January and February, but then deaths certainly did spike dramatically in March and April, during a time when deaths from all causes typically start to cycle downward slightly. The sharp peak in April clearly shows that something very alarming was happening, with the week of April 15 peaking at 78,000 deaths, around 15,000 deaths, or 46% higher than would have been typical for that week. For the calendar years 2014 to 2019 through September 16th, the average number of deaths from all causes, adjusted for population growth, some people are thinking, well, you know, but there's more people, more deaths, was 1,991,000. For 2020 through September 16th, the number of deaths from all causes was 2,302,000. And change. This means that over the first 37 weeks of 2020, there were 310,985 more deaths in the United States than would be expected based on the averages from the six preceding years. The question, though, again, that seems like a very reasonable answer to Ms. Brienne's data analysis. And the question, though, is if that number is correct, how many of those deaths were caused by the lockdowns and panic? It's not enough to say that there's excess deaths. And actually, the author of this article is quick to point that out. He is not saying that he thinks lockdowns are justified. He's saying, you know, he's just saying, look, there have been excess deaths. How many of those deaths were caused by the lockdowns and panic? How many excess deaths were caused by sending the sick elderly folks to nursing homes in New York? How many excess deaths have been created by people not getting their cancer screenings or their cancer treatments? How many excess deaths have come from deaths of despair, suicide, drug overdoses? Remember Dennis Rancor? We had him on the show a number of months ago. Look it up if you forgot it. But he told us months ago that he agreed that there had been a spike in excess deaths. He was one of the first guys to say we need to be watching excess deaths, total mortality, all causes. Because then you get beyond, like, you know, dying with, dying from COVID. We want to look at, see, actually, how many excess deaths have there been. He said back in March that he believed there had been a spike in excess deaths, but he believed that was largely caused by the lockdowns themselves, sending the sick to nursing homes in particular, and similar reasons. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitik.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Also, if you want to rock your Fight Laugh Feast bona fides, visit rowdychristian.com. That's rowdychristian.com for shirts, hats, hoodies, post-mill coffee, beanies, etc. Also, did you hear we started a new magazine? 4 issues a year for $40. Go to flfnetwork.com, find products, and then select magazine. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight Laugh Feast club member and get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and access to all the talks at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, as well as many exclusive behind-the-scenes interviews with Vody Bachum, Tom Askell, Eric Erickson, Sho Baraka, Douglas Wilson, David French, Gary DeMar, Tom Askell, Maj Ture, as well as our very own Worldview Shotgun series. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and have a great day.